We're going to finish off Proverbs 19 today. And so we're in Proverbs 19, verses 12 to 29. And I've titled today's sermon, Biblical Wisdom for Practical Living. Okay? And so we're going to learn how to apply certain truths of Scripture into our lives so that we can use it in our everyday walk with God as we continue to grow in the knowledge of who He is. Vamos a usar, ¿verdad?, ahora palabra para acercarnos más y más al Señor. Y le llamé al sermón de ahora Sabiduría para Vivir la Vida Práctica. Thank you. Entonces vamos a estar en Proverbios 19, versículos 12 al 29. One of the things that I love about Proverbs 19 is that it's filled with practical wisdom for everyday living. And this is what we need. The more wisdom we have, the more we're going to grow with the Lord. Lo que me encanta del capítulo 19 de Proverbios es que este capítulo está lleno de sabiduría bíblica para nuestro vivir cada día. And so the teachings of this chapter gives us three important points in this section of scripture that we're reading. En la sección de estas escrituras que estamos aprendiendo nos da tres cosas de importancia. Primeramente, la importancia de la integridad. The first point it's going to give us is the importance of integrity. How to seek after being people that are integral. In other words, that we're people who go after the heart of God. And then the second point it gives us is the consequences of laziness. And then the third thing that it's going to teach us is the value of listening to counsel. So we're going to go over these three points today as we finish off chapter 19. Aquí el capítulo 19 nos va a dar tres puntos muy importantes. Primeramente, la importancia de buscar la integridad. El segundo punto es las consecuencias de la flojera. Y luego el tercer punto que nos va a dar es el valor de seguir y escuchar el consejo de otros, ¿verdad? Bíblico. And so we seek to apply these teachings, I hope, more and more to our lives each and every day as we open up Scripture today. Mi deseo es que todos puedan aplicar estas enseñanzas a sus vidas para que puedan crecer en su carácter más fuerte, para poder evitar, ¿verdad?, caídas y luego también para hacer decisiones sabias. Now, what I want and I pray as my desire is that we seek to apply these teachings to our lives so that we can build strong character, avoid pitfalls, and make wise decisions as we study chapter 19. So let us strive to walk in integrity. Let us strive to work diligently and then seek counsel from others so that we navigate through all the complexities of life. It's what we're going to learn from this chapter. Lo que yo busco, ¿verdad?, y pido es que caminemos en integridad, que trabajemos diligentemente y que busquemos consejo de otros bíblico para poder navegar sobre todos los problemas y pruebas de la vida. Okay, so let's look at our first point, the importance of integrity in verses 12 to 14 of Proverbs 19. Vamos a buscar, ¿verdad?, la importancia de la integridad en los versículos 12 al 14 de Proverbios 19. Okay, so let's read verses 12 to 14. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. En español. Okay, a foolish son is the destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. And then house and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Vamos a mirar el versículo 12. Como rugido de león es la ira del rey, y su favor como rocío sobre la hierba. El hijo necio es ruina de su padre, y gotera continúa es las contiendas de una mujer esposa o una esposa. Casa y riqueza son herencias de los padres, pero la mujer prudente viene del Señor. Okay, so the first point, the importance of integrity and living in integrity. El primer punto, la importancia de la integridad. Notice what verse says, the king's wrath is as a roaring lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. ¿Verdad? El versículo 12 dice esto, ¿verdad? De muy importante. Dice, como rugido de león es la ira del rey, su favor como rocío sobre la hierba. So it says here, the king's wrath is like a roaring lion, ¿verdad? Dice aquí que la ira de un rey es como el rugir de un león. Now, the roar of a lion is meant to scare their victims, ¿verdad? El rugir de un león está hecho para asustar a sus víctimas. Y una de las cosas que cuando ya oyes el rugir, ahí viene la destrucción después. When you hear the lion's roar, the first thing you do is panic, fear, but then destruction comes right after, right? And that's what the lion does. With his roar, he intimidates its prey. Y una de las cosas que hace el león, intimida a sus víctimas, ¿verdad? Entonces, una de las cosas que así es verdad, que la ira de un rey, ¿verdad? O cualquier otra persona influencial, es muy importante. One of the things that we learn here in Scripture is that the same is true for the wrath of a king, right? Or any other influential person. Our Lord, right? Our Lord is the Lamb of God, if you notice. Nuestro Señor es el Cordero de Dios. Let's go to John 1:29. Vamos a San Juan 1:29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Juan el Bautista dijo al día siguiente, vio a Jesús que venía hacia él y le dijo, "He ahí, Cordero de Dios que quita el pecado del mundo." Right, he's also known as a lion though. And this is what you have to understand about the Lord. He's got power, great power. He's a lamb, but he's also a lion. And one day people are going to meet him for who he is. Those that have rejected him will hear his roar, and then sudden destruction will come. Va a haber un día que todos los que rechazaron al Señor, ¿verdad? Se les olvida que es un león también. Y los que lo rechazan van a oír su rugir y luego viene la destrucción inmediata. Let's go to Revelation 5:5. Vamos a Apocalipsis 5:5. And John wrote this, the apostle, "And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals.'" One day everybody's going to answer to the Lord, the Lion of Judah. Entonces uno de los ancianos me dijo, "No llores, mira, el león del tribu de Judá, la raíz de David, ha vencido para abrir el libro y sus siete sellos." So un día todos le van a responder al Señor porque es el único digno de abrir los sellos donde todos van a dar cuenta de sus vidas. And one of the things that those who have not submitted to the Lordship of Christ one day will hear, not only the baaing of a sheep, they're going to hear the thunderous roar of the Lion of Judah. That is heavy, isn't it? Because a lot of people are going to meet Jesus for who he is. Hay mucha gente que va a conocer al Señor por quien es. And one of the things, when they hear that roar, this is what he will tell them. Cuando oyen ese rugir, es lo que les va a decir. Let's go to Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Vamos a San Mateo 7, versículos 22 y 23. El día que vengan ante el Señor, van a oír estas palabras los que lo rechazaron. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?'" Look at what he will tell them as the Lion of Judah. "Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Isn't that heavy? The roar, right? After the roar comes destruction. "Muchos me dirán en aquel día, 'Señor, Señor, ¿no profetizamos en tu nombre y en tu nombre echamos fuera demonios? ¿Y en tu nombre hicimos muchos milagros?' Y entonces les declararé, y como el león de Judá les va a decir, 'Jamás os conocí, apartaos de mí los que practican la iniquidad.'" ¿Se imaginan el rugir de este Señor de señores y Rey de reyes? Les va a traer, ¿verdad?, palabras donde dice, "Nunca te conocí, apártate de mí." The powerful words of God that say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." They're going to pay a big price. But see, the side of God that we get as his believers is the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb that provides mercy and grace for all of us because of his blood that he shed on the cross. Isn't that beautiful? We won't meet him as the Lion of Judah. We will receive him as the Lamb, right, of God, who washes away all our sin in his goodness. And so I want you to take that into effect. Why it's so important to receive Christ? Because you will receive mercy and grace. Judgment and wrath don't follow you into heaven, but mercy and grace do. Una de las cosas que vas a descubrir cuando recibes a Cristo, que la misericordia y la gracia te va a seguir al cielo, no el juicio ni la ira. Entonces es muy importante entenderlo, porque él es el Cordero de Dios para sus hijos. Y el Cordero de Dios fue inmulado, ¿verdad? Fue sacrificado, derramó sangre para que yo y usted pudiéramos ir al cielo. Qué precioso es la palabra de Dios. Amén. Entonces, ¿verdad? The King gives us favor. And what he does, he loves us into heaven and refreshes us. And every day that we're here on earth, he also provides the guidance we need to get us through the most difficult times of this world. So I love that he's our Lamb, but he's also our King that protects us. And so it's beautiful because I know the favor of God is always with me. And when I know that and I can rest in that, I can be able to say, thank you, Lord, for your mercies are new every morning. Le podemos dar gracias al Señor y darle gracias. Look at what it says in the second part of the scripture there, right? But humility, one of the things he says is, but his favor is like dew on the grass. Dice aquí que su favor, ¿verdad? Es como el rocío sobre la hierba. Qué bonito, right? That means that he refreshes us every morning with new mercies. Aquí cuando dices, ¿verdad?, que el rocío nos refresca, es que nos da nuevas misericordias cada día. Y cuando se seca esa misericordia, viene otra nueva cada día para seguir dándonos ánimo. And every time new mercies begin, he gives us new encouragement for each day. Dew was a very important element in the Palestinian culture of this time. It brought the refreshment that they needed in order for vegetables to grow in the middle of the desert. In other words, they needed that dew, that refreshment. Manna was another thing that the Lord brought to them, and this is the dew that he would bring in the morning to let them know they were never going to be left alone as his children. Una de las cosas que nos dio el Señor también en la palabra, que aquí el rocío era muy esencial para la gente de Palestina, ¿verdad? Porque era esencial para la vegetación que tenían. Entonces el rocío refrescaba. En esos veranos bien secos, ¿verdad? Les daba él su refresco para asegurarlos, pero también les dio el maná del cielo. Y ese maná estaba fresco cada mañana, ¿se acuerdan cuando los cogían? And so es muy bonito mirar esto del Señor. Now look at Proverbs 19, 13 and 14. Vamos a mirar Proverbios 19, 13 y 14. Look at what these verses say. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. El hijo necio es una ruina de su padre, y su gotera continúa las contiendas de una esposa. Casa y riqueza son herencias de los padres, pero la mujer prudente viene del Señor. Now notice this. There are good things a man may receive as an inheritance, right? Including material things such as houses and riches. But notice what it says here. A foolish son is a calamity, or he is the one that brings ruin to his parents. And notice what it says about the wife. There's a continual dripping there when she's contentious. That means that she causes a lot of problems in the home. And one of them is like a leaky roof. Have you ever had a leaky roof in your home? It keeps dripping and dripping. This is what she causes when she's contentious. She makes a lot of noise at home, makes a lot of things happen where she is always in disagreement. So there's a constant dripping, and it's a symbol of there can be no rest in that home. And this is what the Lord is saying. When a wife is submissive and a wife understands, she submits to the King of Kings first, then to her husband, then the home begins to room and rule in a peaceful way. Okay, and so a man is blessed to have such things in his life, but a fool will never get those things, because he will never seek the word of God, the scriptures of God, to bring things in alignment. Now this is important to understand, because a man is blessed to have the father in the home. There's quite a difference when Christ is at the center of a home. Es una diferencia cuando Cristo está en medio de tu hogar. Hay un paz inexplicable. And you know, when you get to see it, when you see homes outside in the world that have not the leadership of the word or the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and you can tell the difference between the homes. You can tell when the presence of God is missing in that home, you see confusion and disorder. Una de las cosas que miras cuando no está el Señor en los hogares, ¿verdad?, es que hay mucha confusión y desorden. Y se nota la diferencia de la seguridad de Dios. Now, a father can provide his son with an inheritance, but he can't give him a prudent wife. Why? Because it's up to the son to make good choices in his women, right? And the woman that he chooses for his wife. Es muy importante, ¿verdad?, que aquí entiéndanos que el padre puede proveer todo para su hijo, la herencia, pero no le puede dar una mujer, ¿verdad?, escritural, si no primeramente busca al Señor. Entonces el hijo tiene que hacer buenas decisiones. See, that's part of having good marriages. When you have a solid marriage, you guys are building your home on the principles of God. Cuando usted tiene un hogar sólido, está construyendo su hogar en los preceptos de Dios, ¿verdad? And one of the things is that a wife who often contends with a husband is like continual dripping in a lot of ways. Cuando una mujer, ¿verdad?, que anda en contención contra su esposo, una de las cosas que va a causar es muchos problemas en muchas maneras, ¿verdad? Y eso es lo que pasa, que se roba el paz del hogar. When you have this kind of division between husband and wife, it causes nothing but strife in the home. It wastes, it destroys, it erodes. And one of the things is the principle of marriage is taken out. So can you imagine living under torture, just having a drip every day, or drips in different areas of your home? You wouldn't live comfortably. Si tú tuvieras fugas en tu casa diferentes, diario, ¿verdad?, cada día, no tuvieras paz en ese hogar. Tuvieras muchas cubetas, pero no tuvieras el paz del Señor ahí, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que tenemos que entender, que el hombre que tiene esa clase de mujer necesita mucha oración. The guy who has a contentious wife needs a lot of prayer, but they need the Lord in order to restore it. And so one of the things is that I want you to understand, when we see this, we have to understand, we build our homes based on God's word. When we build our marriages on God's word, there will be peace, supernatural peace over our homes. Cuando nosotros construimos la casa en la palabra de Dios, vamos a tener hogares escriturales llenas del paz del Señor. Hay un proverbio árabe que dice esto, de la casa intolerable, ¿verdad? Dice, es como un techo que sigue teniendo fugas. Es como una esposa que todo el tiempo anda murmurando. Y otra cosa, como los insectos que se meten a la casa. No hay paz. There's an Arab proverb that says this about an intolerable home. It says, it's like a leaky roof constantly, a nagging wife constantly, and bugs come into the house. And how many of you have been bugged or ticked off? That's how it is. That's kind of the adjustment or the environment that it leaves. Okay, so that's our first point. The wisdom for practical living. We've got to seek the importance of integrity to build homes and lives based on the Word of God. Tenemos que primeramente buscarla y construir nuestros hogares en la importancia de la integridad. Okay, punto número dos. Point number two. The consequences of laziness. Verses 15 to 17. Las consecuencias de la flojera, versículos 15 al 17. Laziness cast into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of conduct will die. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. La pereza hace caer en profundo sueño, y el alma ociosa sufrirá hambre. El que guarda el mandamiento guarda su alma, mas el que menosprecia sus caminos morirá. El que se apiada del pobre presta al Señor, y él lo recompensará por su buena obra. Now I want you to see this, the consequences of laziness, right? One of the things it says, if you are slothful or lazy, you will always be in somewhat of a daze. You'll never get clear views of biblical perspectives. Si tú eres flojo o floja, todo el tiempo vas a estar en una situación que no puedes aclarar las verdades del Señor, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que muchas veces pensamos que nomás necesitamos descanso, ¿verdad? Porque nos sentimos cansados. Pero lo que pasa, ¿verdad?, actualmente, es que necesitamos muchas veces más actividad, pero siendo las cosas correctas. See, sometimes I found out that sometimes we think we need a nap, right? Which we get tired, I understand that. But if it's constant, something's wrong. Because we're not meant by the Lord to be like that. We're like the ant, supposed to be busy. But we have to have our priorities straight. And that's the thing, putting God first, family, right? Then the work that we have to do. The thing is, many times we look for rest, and then laziness turns into depression, and depression locks us up. And it keeps us from doing the work of God. So it has to be a balance. Tiene que haber un balance, ¿verdad? Cuando servimos al Señor. Porque muchas veces servimos al Señor tan duro que muchas veces nos cansamos y pensamos, pues tengo que descansar. Y luego a rato descansamos de más y a rato perdemos la visión del Señor. Pero eso es porque no tenemos las prioridades en orden. Primero es Dios y luego la familia y luego el ministerio. Entonces, ¿verdad? Lo que pasa es que cuando estamos trabajando también, si hacemos cosas saludables, nos protege. See, if you are serving and doing the work of God, it's also a protection for you. Because what happens with idleness? With idleness comes temptation, and then you start doing the things that dishonor God because you have so much time on your hands. So you have to remember to prioritize. Plan right the way the Lord would want you to. But a sluggard neglects that counsel. Un flojo no hace caso al consejo del Señor, se queda flojo, ¿y qué pasa? No come, ¿verdad? Y lo que pasa, como dice aquí, su vida queda en ruina. And one of the things the Proverbs tells us, if you continue in lazy patterns, you're going to have the same effects as a drunkard or a glutton. Vas a tener efectos así como el borracho y el que come de más, ¿verdad? Entonces, miren lo que dice Proverbios 23:21. Look at what Proverbs 23:21 says. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and the drowsiness will clothe one with rags. Porque el borracho y el glotón se empobrecerán, y lo somnolencia se vestirá de harapos, ¿verdad? En otras palabras, una de las cosas que va a pasar, que el destino final va a ser ruina. And this is what happens. God never wanted us to be lazy. But he also doesn't want us burned out, where we don't enjoy serving the Lord. So we have to balance it. Tenemos que balancearnos tu trabajo para el Señor. Pero aquí dice la persona que no hace nada, la floja, va a sufrir hambre. See, and the lazy one, the slothful person will suffer hunger. And so there's a great price to be paid for laziness. Hay un precio grande que se paga por ser flojos. And one of the prices that you pay is hunger. And the other one is that you will never have your needs met because there's no hard work behind it. Okay, so mucho cuidado. La persona floja, la mujer, se pone en una trampa, que duerme mucho y sufre muchas hambres. So the lazy person, man or woman, traps themselves, right, in sleep and in hunger. So be careful. Then verse 16. Let's look at verse 16. Vamos al versículo 16. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. But he who keeps his careless, who is careless of conduct, will die. El que guarda el mandamiento guarda su alma, mas el que menosprecia sus caminos morirá. Okay, obedience, right, to the word and commandment of God has to be real, because it brings benefits. Entre más obedeces la palabra de Dios y sus mandamientos, la vida real, verdad, de ser un hijo obediente o hija, trae muchos beneficios. And what does he say? He that keeps my commandment keeps his soul. El que guarda mis mandamientos guarda su alma. See, obedience guards and keeps life in the way it should be. La obediencia guarda la vida en el lugar donde debe de estar. And so the soul of a wise man or woman who lives according to God's word brings forth a lot of benefits. Entre más te sometes al Señor y su palabra, más beneficios. But he who is careless with his life, what does it say? will die. El que no cuida su vida, el que negleja su vida, ¿verdad? Va a morir. ¿Por qué? Deja y abandona la sabiduría de Dios. Why will he die? Because he abandons the wisdom of God and gets careless, and it leads to death. This is one of the things the Bible teaches us. God gave us his commandments to give us life. Dios nos dio sus mandamientos para darnos vida, y la muerte ya es vencida por medio de Jesucristo para el creyente. And so, the believer, right, has defeated death through Christ because of what he did on the cross for us. So what he says here is, make sure you just follow his word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Si me amas, guarda mis mandamientos. But if you ignore the Lord's commandments and ways, you're going to bring hurt upon your life. Si ignoras los mandamientos del Señor y sus caminos, vas a traer dolor a tu vida. Why? There's always a payment for sin. Todo el tiempo hay un pago por el pecado. ¿Qué dice Romanos 6:23? Look at what Romans 6:23 says about neglecting the commandments of God. and the wages that sin brings. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that true? Porque la paga del pecado es muerte, pero la dádiva de Dios es vida eterna en Cristo Jesús, Señor nuestro. So wise is the life that receives the precepts of God and the wisdom of God. Sabia es la vida que recibe los preceptos de Dios, ¿verdad? Y su palabra, y la aplica. Look at verse 19:17. He hath pity upon the poor. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. The one who is gracious to a poor man, right? El que se apiada del pobre presta al Señor, y él lo recompensará por su buena obra. Think about that principle there. Piensen de ese principio. People are always looking for good investments in this life, right? I'm going to invest in stocks. I'm going to invest here, 401ks, whatever. And one of the things that the Lord teaches us, you're truly wise, you invest in lives. Lo que nos dice el Señor, que tú inviertes en vidas, ¿verdad? So if you're looking for a good investment, a wise loan to make, he says, give to the poor. Si estás buscando tú, ¿verdad?, buenas inversiones. Hay mucha gente en el día de hoy que busca inversiones, ¿verdad?, en su retiramiento, jubilación, diferentes cosas. Aquí dice, mira, si quieres hacer sabio en tus inversiones, ¿verdad?, en lo que tú quieres tener y multiplicar, dice, ¿por qué no miras cómo ayudarle al pobre? Porque el pobre, ¿verdad?, cuando le ayudas, le estás prestando al Señor, dice aquí. This is interesting, right? Because it says, if you help the poor out, you're lending to the Lord. That's the best bank you can ever invest in. El banco del Señor es el mejor inversión que puedes hacer. And doesn't he pay with great dividends? ¿Y que no paga con tanta bendición después si lo haces? Look at Deuteronomy 15, verse 11. Vamos a Deuteronomio 15, versículo 11. And I want you to understand the importance of this. It says, for the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, this is the Lord, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in hand. Porque nunca faltarán pobres en tu tierra, por eso te ordeno, diciendo, con libertad abrirás tu mano a tu hermano, al necesitado y al pobre en tu tierra. So mire qué bonito, ¿verdad?, nos enseña la palabra. Todo el tiempo vamos a tener pobres en la tierra. One thing the Lord said, you'll always have poor in the land, right? And even Jesus said this. And look at what he said in Matthew 26, verse 11. Jesús también dijo, vas a tener pobres todo el tiempo en la tierra. San Mateo 26, 11. Y mire lo que dijo Jesús. For you always have the poor with you. And this is Jesus. But you do not always have me. Porque los pobres siempre los tendrás con vosotros, pero a mí no siempre me tendrás. Think about that. Even the poor is rich in Christ. Hasta el pobre está rico en Cristo. So really, you're never poor when you're in Christ, because he meets all your needs. El Señor alcanza todas tus necesidades. Pero también, porque hay tanto pobre, todo el tiempo hay oportunidades para los hijos de Dios y las hijas de Dios para invertir en vidas que necesitan ayuda. Now I want you to see how important this is, because the poor will always have. This means that if we have poor people, we have a lot of opportunities as servants of God, as Christians, to help the poor, right? To be able to give them whenever we can, right? Ask the Lord to give you sensitivity to that. Every time you see a person on the corner with a cardboard asking for help, don't be in such a hurry that you roll up the window. Say, I hope he doesn't bug me to ask me for money. Start having a compassionate heart. And sometimes you may get the opportunity to share the gospel too. Cuando miren al pobre en las esquinas con sus cartones, lo tentan rápido, ándale, suela la ventana, ahí viene pronto. Mejor dile al Señor que te haga sensitivo a las necesidades del hombre. You will have times when people get raunchy on those corners. And you're trying to help and they don't want the help. They want booze or they want money to drink. And so one of the things you have to understand to use discernment, how can I help this person more? Well, I can bring a sandwich. I can feed them. You can, yeah. And so one of the things is, there's things to do that we can bless them, but at the same time, not hurt them. Hay tiempo donde nosotros podemos nosotros ayudar, y hay oportunidades, ¿verdad? Donde podemos traerles lo que necesitan, pero el dinero muchas veces se lo van a tomar y les estás haciendo más daño. Y hay muchas veces que te van a tirar ese lonche en cara. Dicen, no quiero tu lonche, quiero dinero, efectivo. Pero no se preocupe, usted haga lo correcto ante Dios. See, there's times I want to give you the sandwich back. You say, no, I want money for booze. And I've had that happen to me personally. And I just tell them, okay, I can't give you booze, but if the sandwich, you don't want it, I can find someone who will. The thing is, don't lose that compassion for the lost. Ask the Lord to give you sensitivity to the people who are hurting. Pídele al Señor que te dé sensitividad a la gente que está doliendo. And then when you can, you share generously. Y cuando puedes, ¿verdad? Compartes generosamente. Cuando no se puede, no se puede. But when you can't as well. Okay, so wisdom for practical living. The importance of integrity. The consequences of laziness. It'll rob you of many blessings of God. Okay, la importancia, ¿verdad? De la integridad no es tu primer punto. El segundo punto, las consecuencias de la flojera. Muchas veces te va a robar de muchas bendiciones del Señor. Okay, and then the last point I want to leave you with today. The value of listening to biblical counseling. El valor de escuchar el consejo bíblico. Let's go to verses 18 to 29. Vamos a los versículos 18 al 29. It says, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that no one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and blows for the back of fools. Corrige a tu hijo mientras hay esperanza, pero no desee tu alma causarle la muerte. El hombre de gran ira llevará al castigo, el castigo, porque si tú lo rescatas, tendrás que hacerlo de nuevo. Escucha el consejo y acepta la corrección para que seas sabio el resto de tus días. Muchos son los planes en el corazón del hombre, mas el consejo del Señor permanecerá. Lo que es deseable de un hombre es su bondad, y es mejor ser pobre que mentiroso. El temor del Señor conduce la vida para dormir satisfecho sin ser tocado por el mal. El perezoso mete su mano en el plato y ni aún a la su boca la llevará. Golpea al encarnecedor y el ingenuo se volverá astuto, pero reprende al inteligente y ganará conocimiento. El que asalta a su padre y echa fuera a su madre es un hijo que trae vergüenza y desgracia. Cesa, hijo mío, de escuchar la instrucción, y te desviarás de las palabras de sabiduría. El testigo perverso se burla de la justicia, y la boca de los impíos esparce iniquidad. Los juicios están preparados para los encarnizadores, y los azotes para la espalda de los necios. Okay, so let's go back and review the verses we just opened up. The first thing is being aware of listening to the counsel that God gives us in all aspects of life. La primera cosa que el Señor nos dice escuchar el consejo bíblico que les doy en mi palabra, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas que habla es de la corrección. Notice what he talks about, correction. One of the things throughout scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs, Solomon always exhorted us to discipline our children. En las escrituras, Salomón todo el tiempo nos dijo que exhortáramos a nuestros hijos con la vara, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas que la corrección es bíblica, cuando se hace bíblicamente. See, correction is biblical when it's done according to scripture. And so one of the things is that if you don't deal with the children when they are young, when they grow up, it'll be hopeless later on. Si tú no tratas con tus hijos, ¿verdad? Cuando están jóvenes, cuando crezcan viejos, van a batallar y van a tener muchos problemas. Corrige tus hijos cuando hay esperanza. Train up your children in God's ways while there's still hope. See, there is not an endless window of opportunity to correct. I even correct my kids as they get older. It doesn't matter what age they are. I'm still their parents. Yo todavía puedo corregir mis hijos aunque crezcan viejos, ¿verdad? Porque soy su padre. Entonces ese consejo nunca se acaba de un padre, ¿verdad? That kind of counseling never grows old. And so you can always correct your children. Doesn't matter how old they get. They're still to be listening to your counsel if they want to grow. Sometimes they grow up and they think they don't need your counsel. And that's where the enemy comes in. Hay tiempos que crecen en edad y piensan que no necesitan tu consejo, pero los tienes que dar ese consejo porque lo necesitan. There will come a time when you think as a parent, and let me tell you, because I'm a grandparent and a great-grandparent now, you think of times when I should have been harder on my kids than I should have. And we look back and we go, I should have done that when they were younger. Hay tiempos como padre, ¿verdad? Y soy abuelo y tatarabuelo. Una de las cosas que entiendo ya, que la disciplina, ¿verdad?, es muy esencial. Y muchas veces el enemigo te pone en la cabeza, ¿verdad? No hiciste bastante. Pero acuérdate, esas cosas ya lo aprendes para pasarlo a la siguiente generación. See, now as a grandparent, you can tell your children, look, please correct them here. If you don't, you will make a big mistake. We learn from our mistakes as parents, understand that. Y como padres, aprendemos de nuestros errores. Pero si no corregimos a los hijos, si miramos al otro lado y miramos que van al camino malo y no hacemos nada, nosotros somos culpables porque no les dimos buenas instrucciones. So if we're parents and we look the other way when they were doing wrong and we did not correct them when they were growing up, it's on us because we're instructors. Remember, we're supposed to instruct our children on the way they should go. See, and many parents bring destruction on their children because they never lifted up a hand to correct them. Hay muchos padres que también, ¿verdad?, traen la destrucción a sus hijos porque negligieron corregirlos en ese tiempo, cuando estaban en el mal. Ok, pero grande es la misericordia de Dios. Right? Great is the mercy of God. Even in our mistakes, God can turn it around for good. So it doesn't matter if you made mistakes, it's how you fix them, based on God's word. No sé si hiciste errores, acuérdate, es como los compones. Vas a la palabra, Dios endereza esa senda otra vez. Look at Proverbs 19:19. Mire Proverbios 19:19. A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. El hombre de gran ira llevará el castigo, porque si tú lo rescatas, tendrás que hacerlo de nuevo. See, a person with an anger problem, anger issues, those are people that it says here, man, you help them, right? You're going to have to be helping them over and over unless they repent, unless they say, I'm sorry for what I've done. Gente con problemas de coraje y enojo, ¿verdad? Dicen, ¿y por qué lo salvas? Porque va a tener que hacerlo otra vez. La persona tiene que arrepentirse de lo que está haciendo. Una persona que pierde su coraje, ¿verdad? Y que se encuentra en esa condición, todo el tiempo se va a meter en más problemas. Hard-headed people always get in worse problems. La gente que tiene problemas, ¿verdad?, todo el tiempo van a estar en agua caliente porque no tienen ese coraje bajo el control. ¿Quién es el que controla nuestra ira? El Espíritu Santo, el Señor. Y eso nos evita muchos errores. When you have an anger problem and you don't give it to God, you're going to suffer more and more positions of being in hot water and more problems. The Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit is the one that subdues that anger. It's called self-control, one of the biggest fruits of the Spirit. El dominio propio es uno de los frutos más grandes que tenemos, ¿verdad? Nosotros como sus hijos. Eso nos lo dice en Gálatas 5:23. One of the things about self-control, it's under Galatians 5, verse 23, right? That we have dominion over that anger. We should not let it go. Tenemos nosotros parte del fruto del Espíritu Santo que nos permite a no enojarnos. What happens with a man of great wrath is he punishes himself. La persona con gran ira se castiga a sí mismo. See, wounded pride and resentment leave the wretched criminal brooding in his room. La que está herido de orgullo o resentimiento deja al pobre lleno de ira, ¿verdad? Ahí en su cuarto enojándose más y más. Y lo que pasa, el enemigo lo agarra y lo zarandea. Whenever you don't give your anger to the Lord, the enemy will come and sift you. And remember, the Bible says here, if you rescue those kind of people from their anger, you will have to do it again over and over and over again until they find the Lord to be able to give them the Holy Spirit to rescue them. So entonces el Espíritu Santo es lo que lo rescata y no, si no van a estar metiéndose en problema tras problema todo el tiempo. Okay, so remember that. Look at verses 20 and 21 of Proverbs 19. Proverbios 19, 20 y 21. Listen to the counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in the man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Escucha el consejo y acepta la corrección para que seas sabio el resto de tus días. Muchos son los planes en el corazón del hombre, mas el consejo del Señor permanecerá. You know, you and I have a lot of thoughts and ideas, right? We're even planning summer vacations now for people who are going out. Those plans can change in an instant. You can get hit with bad health. All of a sudden, you're bedridden. And remember that every plan you make, you must take God into account and say, Lord, if this is your will for us to go, then it's going to happen because it can be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Investments, anything you do, make sure you take to the Lord first. Todas las inversiones que haces, todo lo que tienes en tus planes, acuérdate que pueden cambiar muy rápido. Y el Señor te dice, tú piensas que vas a ir a vacaciones. Yo tengo otros planes para ti. And many times, see, the Lord will put us on our back so that we can meditate on Him because we're so busy planning this, planning that without Him. And the Lord says, I have to put you on your back so you can understand who governs your life and who runs it. I am the great I am. And I am the one who runs it. Yo soy el gran yo soy. Yo soy el que dirijo tu vida. Okay, una de las cosas, ¿verdad? Cuando no somos sabios, somos necios. Hay gente que todo el tiempo piensa, ¿verdad? Que tiene planes que están en su corazón, pero no son necesariamente la voluntad de Dios. There's a lot of people that have plans in their hearts, but they're not necessarily the Lord's plan for your life. This is where you have to discern. Every time I'm on my knees, I take it to the Lord, and I said, do you want me doing this for you, Lord? Or do you not? Because, man, there's so many people that think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then life changes drastically. And you have to adjust trusting God in it. Tienes que ajustarte y conformar tu corazón con el Señor, ¿verdad? Porque tenemos nosotros muchas tendencias de hacer planes para el futuro, voy a hacer esto para retiramiento, voy a hacer lo otro. Lo dice el Señor, esa no es mi voluntad, yo quiero hacer esto contigo. See, there's just a tendency for us to be planning things. And God says, look, it's all right to plan, but always plan with me in mind. Because then your plans will honor me and glorify me. James tells us this in chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Santiago nos dice eso en capítulo 4, versículos 13 al 15, que cada plan que tú tengas, entrégaselo al Señor, porque tú no sabes cómo cambia la vida. See, every plan that you make, give it to the Lord, because you don't know how God can change your life around all of a sudden. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Isn't that true? You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away, even if you live to be 100. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Isn't that true? Oír ahora lo que dices. Hoy o mañana iremos a tal o cual ciudad y pasaremos allí un año. Haremos negocio y tendremos ganancia. Sin embargo, no sabes cómo será vuestra vida mañana. ¿Quién te ha garantizado mañana? Solo sois un vapor que aparece por un poco de tiempo y luego se desvanece. Más bien, deberías decir, si el Señor quiere, ¿verdad? Si es su voluntad, viviremos y haremos esto o aquello. Hay gente que hace tantos planes y lo ha mirado yo como pastor, y de repente cambia todo y se hacen pedazos. Pero cuando tú entiendes que Dios tiene todos tus asuntos en su mano, no te va a dejar o abandonar. Vas a tener que descansar en Él y aprender eso. Es una cosa muy, muy dura para nosotros porque somos cabezones. Y muchas veces queremos hacernos tu voluntad. Y hay que todo el tiempo comenzar cada día. Primeramente, con un corazón agradecido. Segunda, con decirle, Señor, que mis planes sean de tu voluntad para que yo te glorifique. So every day you wake up, first thing, wake up with a grateful heart. Be thankful for what you do have. And then, secondly, Lord, that the plans that I have for today bring you glory. That they be in your will for me and my life. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Okay? One thing in the heart, right, that you have may be dependent upon the counsel and the guidance of His Word. And one of the things is you have to take it to the Word for it to be brought to fruition. Es una de las cosas que cuando se lo llevas al Señor, pones la palabra en acción, que seas, tienes una plan en el corazón, pero verifíquela con la palabra de Dios. Look at verse 22 of Proverbs 19. Proverbios 19, versículo 22. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. Versículo 22. Lo que es deseable en un hombre es su bondad. Y es mejor ser pobre que mentiroso. Now I want you to see this verse. It's important. What makes a person attractive? The world says the outside. The Bible says the inside. Kindness. La Biblia dice, ¿verdad?, que cuando uno se hace buen aparecido, no es como el mundo que lo hace por lo externo. En la Biblia dice lo interno, por su bondad, ¿verdad? And so the desire, literally the attractiveness of a person is in their kindness. ¿Verdad? Lo que atrae a gente, ¿verdad?, es la bondad de una persona. Si tú quieres hacer, ¿verdad?, deseable, una de las cosas que tienes que ser, ser como Jesús. If you want to be attractive, be like Christ. That's what the Bible is saying. Our culture emphasizes the exterior too much. Nuestra cultura pone énfasis en lo de afuera. But the Lord looks on the inward side of a person. El Señor busca lo de adentro, lo interior de una persona. ¿Se acuerdan cuando querían escoger el rey de Israel? Que fueron a la familia de David y estaban buscando un candidato. Todos estaban mirando lo externo de primero. Eliab y todos los hermanos de David. El Señor dice, yo no miro como el hombre, mira. Yo miro dentro del hombre. ¿Se acuerdan? Primera Samuel 16:7. You guys remember when they were choosing a king? When it pertained to David and his family, they all went to go check out the brothers, Eliab and all the brothers, and everybody wanted the physical sights, right? The specimens, the outside. And so everybody thought, surely this is the king. And then finally the Lord says, look, I don't look like man does. I look at the interior. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, I still remember how the Lord uses the inside. See, the world, that's superficial. Using the external, but God says, no, I want the person that shows me the inside, how they're walking with me. And that's the person I want. Someone who's in love with my word and with me. El Señor mira lo interior. So to be a man or a woman, right, of God, He's saying here, be a woman or a man of truth. Desire to live your life based on the scriptures. Si tú eres alguien que quiere ser deseable, mujer o hombre, dice, busca mi palabra y aplícala. Pero no seas mentiroso. That's what he says, don't be a liar here. It's better to be poor and truthful. And this is one of the things, is the more you desire the truth of God, the truth never changes. So as you become Christ-like and you obey the truth of the Word of God, you become like Him each and every day, so you can't let God down when you're obedient to His Word. The truth never changes. La verdad nunca cambia, ¿verdad? Y nos hace el Señor así como nos dice. Entonces tenemos que buscar la verdad para ser deseables. See, we have to look after the truth in order to be desirable, because we value His kindness with us. Valorizamos su bondad con nosotros y tratamos a gente como la palabra nos enseña. And so we treat others the way God has treated us. So look after the truth. That should be your goal. Busca la verdad de Dios en su palabra y aplícala para que tengas bendición. Look at verse 23. Proverbios 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. El temor del Señor conduce a la verdad para dormir satisfecho sin ser tocado por el mal. Right, the fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom. What does it say here? The fear of the Lord leads to good life, right? An obedient life brings a lot of blessings. El temor del Señor no solamente es el principio de la sabiduría, pero también, ¿verdad?, el origen de la verdad que nos trae satisfacción a nuestras vidas, vida frutífera. Lasting satisfaction is always found in a life that loves Christ. Hay una bendición tremenda que tienes un paz inexplicable cuando tu vida está enfocada en el Señor. The fear of the Lord leads to life. El temor del Señor te lleva a la vida abundante. Isn't that beautiful? If you want more peace in your life, fear the Lord. Si quieres más paz en tu vida, teme al Señor. The one who is abiding with the Lord will have satisfaction in his life. La persona que habita con el Señor va a tener satisfacción en su vida. And so when we have Christ in our life and we walk with him and we have that fear of him, that reverence, it leads to a life of satisfaction. Cuando caminamos con el Señor, cuando sabemos que lo tenemos en nuestra vida y ese temor es reverencia, entonces vas a tener tu vida llena, saturada de su presencia y te va a traer mucha satisfacción. Remember, we have enemies, right? That we fight against. Tenemos enemigos que todo el tiempo, cada día peleamos. And these enemies every day are the world, the flesh, and the devil himself. Cada día tenemos el mundo, la carne y el diablo que peleamos en contra de. Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que si sigues estas cosas vas a tener miseria. If you fall to the attacks of the enemy, the world, and the flesh, you'll have misery in your life. It's better to stay on the road of righteousness. Es mejor de quedarnos en el camino de la justicia. When you live a life of righteousness after the Lord, He provides a quality of life that it doesn't matter if there's storms in your life, you still have a peace regardless of your circumstances. Cuando estás en medio del Señor, ¿verdad?, te va a dar un paz inexplicable. No le hace en qué circunstancia te encuentres, tormenta, lo que sea. Vas a tener un paz inexplicable porque Dios está allí contigo. Amén. Look at verse 24. Proverbs 19. Vamos a Proverbios 19:24. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. El perezoso mete su mano en el plato y ni aún a su boca la llevará. Can you imagine that? Having a big, great American steak. And I'm plugging in a restaurant, right? But you see those big steaks that are in steakhouses. And one of the things is the lazy person won't be able to eat it. Because it's saying here, he will not even attempt to feed himself, even if the food is right before him. So this is what the Bible says. Laziness brings forth loss of blessing. Siendo flojo, ¿verdad?, tendrás una chuletota del Great American ahí en tu plato, pero dice que el flojo no la puede ni subir a su boca. So he buries his hand in his dish. Entierra su mano ahí en ese plato, ¿verdad?, porque está muy flojo para traerse la comida a la boca. Y because he's too lazy to bring that steak to his mouth. Another thing I want you to see there is that the lazy person always plans tomorrow, not get things done today. Otra cosa que la gente floja hace, quiere hacer los planes mañana en vez de ahora. And that's how laziness works. Oh, I'll take care of it tomorrow. Oh, mañana lo hago. And to never, right? And then a new day starts. Oh, tomorrow I'll take care of that. And they never accomplish anything. That way of thinking never gets you to really do productive things in life. What you can do for today, get it done. That way is one less thing you have to worry about tomorrow. Haz lo que tengas que hacer ahora y no vas a tener tanto problema mañana. Esto nos aplica también espiritualmente. This also applies to us spiritually. If we plan to study the word today, let's do it today. Don't put it off for tomorrow, but because by then the enemy might come in and strangle you, right? And attack you. En lo espiritual, tenemos que estudiar la palabra hoy, no mañana. Porque no sabemos lo que mañana trae. Y la palabra de hoy nos prepara para mañana. And the word of today, right, for today, gives us preparation for tomorrow. If you do not have that discipline in the study of the word of God, you will never grow spiritually. Si no tienes esa disciplina de estudiar la palabra, nunca vas a crecer espiritualmente. You know, as a shepherd, many times I've had to miss things that go on in family circles because I have to study. So I can't go to parties, I can't do this, I can't do that. Because my responsibility as a shepherd is to make sure I feed the sheep. Now I will be at most of them, but I can't be at some of them because I have to set aside time for God. And my family sometimes misses out on having their father there. But I tell them, look, I'm there for you when it counts. The thing is, when it comes to feeding the flock, it's a great responsibility. And if I take this, oh, I'll study tomorrow, then my teachings will reflect that at the pulpit. See, I should never want people to come to a church service and I did not prepare 100% for them. Because then I'm not being faithful to the calling of God. A dish must be served every time with passion, with fervor for the things of the Lord. And many times it's going to make you miss out on things. It's all right. If you are taking care of the business of being having your home first, they'll understand that. Because you're always there for the things they need. But when you take that attitude, like I'd rather be cha-cha-chaing, partying down, right, all this stuff, but not feed the flock, you're going to be a poor shepherd. And that is going to come back to bite you because you're going to give an account to God for how you fed his sheep. So mucho cuidado. Cuando preparamos la palabra, la tenemos que hacer con responsabilidad. Como pastores, tenemos que enseñar con disciplina la palabra. Cuidar en nuestros hogares primero. Cuando se puede, se va uno. Cuando no, tiene que decir, ¿saben qué? Tengo que dejar esto porque tengo la responsabilidad de darle de comer a las ovejitas. No vamos a crecer como pastores si no hacemos esto. Y esa es una de las cosas más difíciles de entender como pastor. ¿Ok? Proverbs 19:25. Proverbios 19:25. Strike a scoffer and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding and he will gain knowledge. Golpea al escarnecedor y el ingenuo se volverá astuto, pero reprende al inteligente y ganará conocimiento. Right? One of the things you have to learn, how to take discipline and how to be understanding. But if you correct a foolish person, and they do not take that instruction, they're losing out on a great blessing. The wise person learns from his mistakes, learns from the correction, and then he comes back even stronger and matures more. La persona que recibe instrucción, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas va a aprender. It's like when you see the looky-loos on the freeway, right? They're always looking at the accident on the other side of the freeway, and they cause the other side to slow down, right? No bearing on the other side. They're all looking over there, but they're causing risk over here. The wise person says, okay, I see the mistake, but I got to keep focused. And we learn from those. The people who are just looky-loos are just looking to be part of the problem, not part of the resolve. So be careful. Okay, and then remember, a wise man, when corrected, will grow wiser. Cuando una persona sabia se corrige, va a crecer más sabiamente. And then we'll close off with this, Proverbs 19, verses 26 to 29. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of fools. El que asalta a su padre y echa fuera a su madre es un hijo que trae vergüenza y desgracia. Cesa, hijo mío, de escuchar la instrucción y te desviarás de las palabras de sabiduría. El testigo perverso se burla de la justicia y la boca de los impíos esparce iniquidad. Los juicios están preparados para los escarnecedores y los azotes para la espalda de los necios. Now I want you to meditate on these. There's a sharp contrast, right, between a person who's wise and one who isn't. Hay mucho contraste en una persona que es sabia y uno que no. Aquí dice un hijo vergonzoso, ¿verdad? The unwise person is called the shameful son. The ungodly witness, the scorner, right, the fool. And so aquí, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que nos enseña que nosotros como sus hijos tenemos que entender que seguimos la instrucción de Dios, pero caminamos en los lugares apropiados. No andamos con los escarnecedores. Andamos nosotros caminando con creyentes, con la palabra. See, as Christians, we have to pick the right places to go to and who to hang out with that are bearing fruit as Christians. We don't want to hang out with a bad element because then they'll lead us to doing bad things. But if we hang out with people who are wise, walking with Christ, we're going to do the things that bring honor to God. And this is one of the issues here. Who is the blessed man? The one who doesn't follow the ungodly. ¿Quién es la persona que es bienaventurada? La que no sigue los incrédulos, ¿verdad? Entonces nosotros seguimos los pasos de Cristo, no del hombre. And so as Christians, we follow the footsteps of Christ, right? And not sinners. One of the things that I want to always remind you of, when you hang around with scorners, you're going to become like them. When you hang around with Christian people, godly Christians, they're going to draw you closer to God. And this is very important because a lot of young people like to hang out with the wrong crowd. And when they're hanging out with that wrong crowd, they're doing things that dishonor God. And that's one of the hardest things for them to learn. But if they hang out with Christian-like friends, their age, that are walking with God, they're going to be doing more things that are effective for the kingdom. Same thing applies to us. The more we hang around with God-minded people, Christ-like people, the more we're going to be doing things that honor God. The more we go with the scorners, we're going to be doing things that don't bring us an ounce of wisdom. No nos traen ninguna onza de sabiduría cuando nos juntamos con mala compañía. Entonces dice esto en Salmo 1. Vamos ahí. I want us to go to Psalm 1. We'll read the whole psalm. And this is what we do as Christians to stay in the will of God. Esto es lo que hacemos como cristianos para permanecer en la voluntad de Dios. Let's go to Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Salmo 1, 1 al 6. How blessed is a man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, right? And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. This is why we don't hang out with them. But they are like chaff which the wind drives away. And chaff, remember, was the waste that would come by and the wind would take that away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Isn't that true? We don't hang around with the wicked. We hang around with the righteous. And one of the things, look at the progression of sin and how it works in Psalm 1. I want you to see that. Miren la progresión del pecado y cómo trabaja y cómo el enemigo nos sutilmente nos decepciona. ¿Verdad? Y es muy importante entender este precepto. I want you to learn this precept as to the progression of sin when you do hang around with people. Look at what it says. First of all, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, you're walking first. When you're under the temptation of sin, and as you walk, once you see the sin, the temptation that comes into your life, you'll tend to stop. Look at the second part. Nor stand in the place or the path of sinners. Right? So what happens is you stand, The sin gets your attention and then you start messing with it. After a while, look at the third step, how sin progresses in your life. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You'll end up sitting in that mire, in that clay, and you'll be deceived by the enemy and lured away from God. That's a progression of sin. God says, no, don't hang out with the ungodly, because before you know it, you'll stop walking with me, you'll be standing in the midst of deception, and then you'll be sitting in it. And then the enemy will lure you away from the principles of God. Qué tremendo, ¿verdad? Cuando miramos la progresión del pecado, primeramente nos dice, bienaventurado es el hombre que no anda en el consejo de los impíos. Comienzas a caminar y cuando te atrae un pecado, ¿verdad? Ahí lo ves y mira lo que pasa. Ya nomás lo ves y al rato ya caes en su nido, ¿verdad? Dice, ni se detiene en el camino de los pecadores. En otras palabras, ya nomás lo miras, te detienes y luego al rato te gusta, ¿verdad? Porque el pecado es algo que le gusta hacer a la gente, por eso hay tanta tentación en él. Pero el tercer paso dice, ni se sienta en la silla de los escarnecedores. Y al rato estás sentado y ahí andas practicando el pecado ya como nada y te alejas del Señor. Las personas, los hijos y las hijas del Señor caminan con él y siempre en sus preceptos para evitar el pecado en la vida. Si Christian believers always walk with God and in the principles of God and the counsel of God, so that we will never be sitting in the places we're not supposed to. So today I encourage you, listen to the word of God, listen to the counsel of God, and give that to your children and their children's children, and they will be able to overcome the enemy in their lives. Acuérdate, todo esto son consejos para la vida práctica que nos van a ayudar. So acuérdense, la importancia de la integridad. Sean personas de verdad. Remember the importance of integrity. Be persons of integrity, of truth. Y luego acuérdense en las consecuencias de la flojera. Remember the consequences of laziness. Those things will bring you nothing but hunger and ruin. La flojera te va a traer ruina y hambre. Y muchas veces muerte. And many times death. And then remember the value of listening to biblical counsel. Acuérdense en el valor, ¿verdad?, de escuchar el consejo bíblico. So, en el día de hoy el Señor nos ha dado mucho para poder nosotros aplicar, para vivir vidas prácticas centrados en el Señor. So the word has given us a lot of good principles today. To live based on God's word and wisdom, biblical wisdom, for practical living. Okay? I'd like the worship group to come up. We'll close up our service. And I wanted to just minister to people that are listening on the internet and even here. And how important it is, if you're looking for peace and you haven't found it, and you're looking for answers to life, the only place you're going to find the complete book of life is in the Bible. And if you come to the book of life and you meet the God of the book of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, He will change your life forever. And He will teach you how to walk in integrity. He will teach you how to work hard. And He will teach you how to listen to His counsel so that you can become born again. So today, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, my prayer is that you will surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And so that you surrender your life in a way where you say, Lord, nothing else matters in my life but You. If you do that, I guarantee you, you will be born again. And you will see life differently from the lens of a biblical worldview now. And maybe you listen to people that give you bad advice and you got away from the Lord. And now the Lord is calling you back to His flock. And He's saying, look, you got away from me because you listened to bad counsel. Listen to the counsel that I have for you today. If you repent, if you come back, I will always receive you to myself. And if that's you and you wandered away, but God has been speaking to you today through the message, I pray you will come back to the place where Christ is again ruling and reigning in your life and your heart. And then for you believers, continue to seek integrity and continue to work hard until the Lord comes back for you, both for your families, for the kingdom as well. And then remember, listen to the biblical counsel, that our prayers will be heard and that our children and their children's children will also listen to biblical counsel. Amen. So ahora lo recuerdo. si nunca ha recibido a Cristo como su Rey Salvador, que le abran las puertas de su corazón al Señor y lo inviten que entre. Y que si huyeron de escuchar también consejo malo, se alejaron de Dios, que ahora se arrepientan y se vengan otra vez a los brazos amorosos de su Salvador. Y como creyentes, que apliquen la integridad en sus vidas más y más. Que trabajen duro para que puedan tener de comer cada día su pan diario. Y luego que al fin escuchen los consejos bíblicos de la palabra de vida de Dios. Padre, mi oración es de que todos escúchenos ahora esta palabra dulce y hermosa que nos has dado para crecer y hacer más como tú. Bendice a tu pueblo, Señor, y guarda de ellos. Y sigue, Señor, instruyéndonos conforme tu palabra a prepararnos en estos últimos días a ser hijos y hijas llenos de frutos, Señor, para tu reino. Y que síganos creciendo y cambiando, Señor, en todas las áreas de nuestras vidas que tenemos que cambiar. Father, my prayer today is that everyone listening will apply the scriptures that you gave them today so that their lives will be changed and they will become more and more like you and be productive, Lord. Christians bearing much fruit for your honor and glory and for your kingdom, and that we all dismiss today knowing that without you we'd be lost, Lord. And we thank you for being the faithful shepherd to our lives. We thank you for being the good shepherd of our lives. Te damos gracias por ser el buen pastor, Señor, de nuestras vidas, y te damos a ti toda honra y toda gloria en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Father, we love you and we praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.